Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the beautiful and talented Marina Shafir.
What's up, everybody?
We want to thank our sponsors, American Icon Autographs. Their website is www.aiase. They have the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. They have signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, and everything else in between. Their past signings have included people like Mike Tyson, Cheech and Chong, Dan Henderson, Hulk Hogan, Burt Reynolds, Ernie Banks, John Wooden, Marcus Allen, and hundreds of more. Check out their website, AIASE. Find out who's signing next. Go to their events.
Hopefully me.
Yes, hopefully Marina will. Right? She's talking to you about
yeah,
sponsoring
we're
you?
Yeah, we're talking.
How cool
we're
is
in
that?
The talks. We're, yes. We're in the talks.
I also want to thank Remove It Restoration. People, has your business been vandalized all over? Have gang members destroyed your business storefront? Call the professionals at Remove It Restoration. They take care of graffiti, remove it, they restore etched windows, and get your business back to being brand new for a fraction of the cost. Your business is important. Image is very, very important. Don't leave it in the hands of the amateurs. Check them out at 1-888-424-9697 or go to removeitrestoration.com. I'm telling you, ask for Eric. Super cool guy. One of the best. Also, people, if you're getting serious about working out, you want to feel better, HempCore, the ultimate hemp protein. You can get them at HempCoreStore.com, HempCoreStore.com. It's a Canadian company. I'm half Canadian. Got this for my fellow Canucks. And they supply their athletes with 100% organic hemp protein grown on the prairies. That's where Marina likes to get it done. HempCore is a great alternative to processed supplements that include a ton of unpronounceable ingredients. It's gluten-free, GMO-free. I'm telling you, all these athletes are using HempCore. Marina, have you tried it?
It's so delicious.
So delicious, and have your body felt better afterwards?
Every time after my runs.
I love it. Same with me. Go to HempCoreStore.com. For the fans of the MMA Roasted podcast, use the promo code ADAM to receive 15% off your order. HempCoreStore.com. And guys, by the way, it's Canadian dollars, so you can save some money. So, I just got back from New York yesterday.
The city?
The city. I was doing comedy. I was in the city on Wednesday. I saw my little brother, Max. Love seeing him. I did a show Thursday night at the Broadway Comedy Club. There's nothing better than New York audiences. I mean, they're the best. You do comedy for these, like, L.A. hipster, too cool for school. Some audiences are great, normally the Mexican crowds.
Yeah, the guys that are, like, sitting at the tables, like, right next to the stage, and they just don't laugh, and they're wearing sunglasses, and they're just like, I'm laughing on the inside, dude.
Yeah, sunglasses and beards, and they hate me for having a punchline, and you know, they're mad because I, you know, got laid before the age of 23, and they just look at me like, I'm fucking too cool for this, man. Hey, what the hell, you have a joke? Why can't you tell a story that just goes on and on with no punchline? You know, fuck that. New York crowds, they want you to bring it. It felt so good to be in New York. And then I did a show in New Jersey and Catch a Rising Star in Princeton. It was a great crowd. Actually, the Saturday Night Late Show, there was like these five dudes in the front. Actually, it was four white guys and a black guy. They were super nice, but they were like bigger guys. And I was talking about rapping, and the guy's like, I'm a rapper, the black guy. I'm like, really? Are you Busta Scale? And everybody went ballistic. Fucking first round KO. had so much fun. Frankie Edgar came to my show Friday night.
What?
Yeah, he came with his wife. His wife was smoking hot. Him and his wife both came. That was awesome seeing Frankie. It was so funny because the comics before me were like, if a joke wasn't bad, they're like, sorry, Frankie. Like, everybody wanted to look cool in front of Frankie.
In New Jersey, he's like a huge star.
He had his own parade. How many people do you know that have their own parade?
Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, so it was great seeing that. And then I may have some big news for some a TV show soon, people. Stay tuned. I may have some really, really big news. As well as Marina, we may have a show coming out on television very, very soon on two networks. So that was cool. And I forgot to say, recently, like a couple months ago when I was single, there was a girl. I forgot to tell the story. Some girl I slept with a couple years ago.
Oh, a couple years ago. You forgot to tell us the story about a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she was the girl that you just almost or slept with?
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, man.
So she was like awful in
story
bed.
Time.
She just laid there, right? She just laid there in bed.
Like the other ones?
No. No. There's a lot of them that actually, not the other one. Well, like you're there? What are you talking about the other ones?
I just hear things.
But who? Who do you hear this from? What,
you
hear? You, oh yeah, it's a good point. So, so she just laid there, right? I could tell she just wanted to get it over with. Mm-hmm. So then she asked me, "How was I?" And I was like, "You were kind of like a dead fish." I got to be honest. I was honest.
You could be nice, honest.
No, you know what? First, I said you were fine, and then she goes, "Really? I'm fine." I go, "You were fine," and then she kept bugging me. Come on, tell me how it was. So I'm like, "All right, it was you."
So she must have known she was off if she continued to aggressively ask you.
Yeah,
if
and then
okay.
She kept texting me after that. Can I redeem myself? Let me redeem myself.
Well, hey.
So first I was like, I don't know. You know, I was in relationships.
Like
so,
you're gonna turn down LA?
No, I did. I did for a long time, but finally she caught
you.
Me in the right mood.
I don't believe
it. And
you.
I was like, all right, come over. And she did redeem herself. So I just wanted to say that.
Was she overactive? Maybe got some pre-workout in?
Maybe. No. Well, this time she was good. So I just wanted to say it's never too late to change.
And okay? This was 2 years ago?
No, this was a couple months ago when I was single. But a few years ago was the dead fish. She redeemed herself this time. So what I'm trying to say, people, is that just because you fuck up the first time, there's a moral here that it's never too late to change. You could always get a second chance.
That's
not always. But.
That's a great moral.
That's
a great moral to have.
But then there was a girl recently who was like, I'm on the road. I'm not going to tell the story. So
you can't do that. And right. Be like, eh.
I'm on the road. So this girl's like, hey, I want you to tuck. This girl was smoking hot. She's like, I want you to tuck me into my place. She's just staying at a hotel. She's like, I want you to tuck me in. I'm like, and tell me a story. So I'm like.
So she pretty much asked you to be the turn down service?
What's that?
What did I just say?
What's the turn down service?
The turn down service where they like come in and they like make your bed for you in the middle of the like or like late afternoon.
Yeah.
So you have like a nice comfortable bed.
Well, yeah, that wasn't it. But she asked me to come tell her a story. So I went into her bed and I'm sitting there and she gets into like lingerie. She looks smoking hot.
Dang.
Gets in bed and then suddenly we start like kissing and stuff. And she's like, "What are you doing?" blah blah. I go, What do you ask me to come in your place, tell you a story. We spent all night together. She's like, well, I really just wanted to hear a story. So I'm like, here's a story about a guy who got blue balls. Which was made her laugh.
But don't.
And then I was back in there, but nothing really happened. It was just fun.
You really did just tell her a story?
No, we made out a little bit, but there was no sex involved. Anyway, this.
So you were a turn down service?
No, I wasn't turned down. I wasn't.
You were literally turned down.
No, fuck you. I was not turned down. I was not turned up. I was just turned.
No, you were turned up, and then she turned you down.
Listen, I was turned on, and then yes, okay. Anyway, so somebody has a big fight coming up. Marina Shafir, somebody in this room.
Yes.
So what's going on with this? Tell us.
What do you mean?
So we haven't given it on the show since you got the fight announced.
Yeah, because I've been training really hard.
So who's this girl you're fighting?
Her name is Amber LeBrock.
Amber Leroy?
No, Amber LeBrock, and this is going to be her pro debut, 3-1 as an amateur. Tall, she's like 5'11", and super aggressive, and comes in hot, and it's exactly the kind of fight I need.
And what do you, so have you been watching tape on her?
Is there anything? Yeah.
Okay. So she's mostly a striker, mostly a wrestler?
I think she's like an aspiring grappler.
Okay.
I've seen some footage of her grappling, and she won one of her fights with like a rear naked choke.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And, but, you know.
All right.
I'm just prepping real hard. I got all the right people around me, and I want it to be tomorrow.
Right.
Like, we call it the itis, the 3-week itis and the 2-week itis, like when you just want to fucking fight. Like, this is, you know, training has, the third week out from our fight is usually, like, the hardest, and then the second week out before the fight. It's just speed, and like right now I'm in the third, and I just want to fuck shit up.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, you were so funny. Like 2 weeks ago, I got a text from Marina out of the blue. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? So I wrote back. I was like, I was out of the country. I was like,
no, three
I was
weeks
in,
ago.
I was in Dubai. So
this
I go,
3 weeks.
I was
ago.
Like, I'm in Dubai. Oh, too bad. So I'm thinking like, okay, she's. I don't know what Marina wants. Maybe she wants to set me up with the girl, or maybe she. You know, who knows? Who knows what she has? Who knows what she has in store for me? Maybe she wants to have a threesome with me here in Rhonda. I mean, there's all kinds of things.
Definitely not ever that.
There's all kinds of things running through my head, right? So then I go, why? What did you? I go, I'm out of the country. What did you want?
Do you know why? This is why I don't text you that often.
I go, I knew that it wasn't a threesome with Rhonda.
Right.
Okay, I knew that was not the case. But I was like, I don't know. Maybe she wants to hang out. Maybe she wants to hang out as friends. You know, we've never really hung out before outside of the podcast. Mm-hmm. At your coffee place, maybe you want to like do something fun. I'm like, oh cool, she wants to take our relationship to the next level of friendship, right? So we could actually have a fun day.
You're giving me anxiety, and this happened like 4 weeks ago.
So then she writes back, I needed a ride to the airport. I'm like, really?
We're taking our friendship to the next level.
Airport. I'm
airport ride.
Oh god, that's awful.
Why is that awful? awful.
That I'm the guy you think of. Oh, what sucker could take me to the airport? You live in Venice.
Sucker.
It's a fucking $8 Uber to the airport.
Not a sucker. I wanted the company of a good friend.
I live in the valley. I'd have to come all the way from the valley to Venice to drive.
Well,
you. You could walk to the airport for
you. I thought
you
wanted to be my friend.
I do want to be your friend. I'm just telling you that
No, never to ask you again.
Oh, fine. To the airport? Ooh, take me off that list. Wow, that's a tough list to not be on. Fucking guys who want to drive. You know, the valley is like 45 minutes from Venice, which is 5 minutes to the airport. You can see the airport from your place. You could like spit on the airport from where you are.
I can't spit on the airport.
Okay, but Venice is like the next town over from the airport.
It's like two towns over.
This is ridiculous. Ridiculous. I thought that was funny. I thought our people would be funny. By the way, there's a guy who donated to my movie, who I told him I would give a shout out on the podcast. He says he's one of the only gay guys that likes MMA. He loves MMA, but he's gay.
That's not true.
But he said a lot of his friends
don't
like.
Wilmer Valderrama loves MMA.
Wilmer is not gay. I know Wilmer very well.
I'm kidding.
So his name is No on 8. So there you go. There's your shout out, No on 8. He's a guy who's gay, who likes MMA, and he's a big fan of the podcast. So
look at that.
So many people, I've been asking for money, trying to raise money for my movie, and they're like, yeah, man, but just make sure you just tell Marina what's up, or Marina.
Shut up.
Everybody has, I'm telling you, you're a big hit amongst our fans.
Maybe you could like, you know, start a dating service for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you looking for a boyfriend?
No, you can manage it.
It's called
I'm just looking for people to drive to the airport.
Airportrides.com.
Yeah, Marina.
For Marina. I'm sure there'd probably be a ton of them, but that was ridiculous. That was
Tinder bio.
Tinder bio? I need a ride to the airport? That is a good Tinder bio. That is pretty good. So Jake has a fight coming up. These guys are so funny. Just so you know how hard it is having a podcast. I love having a podcast, but like there was the whole T-Rex debacle. Who I love T-Rex. He's gonna be back on in July, but it was I'm not coming. And then Marina, like last week, day of the show, I'm like very sore. I can't come in 5 minutes before the show. Okay, no problem. Then Jake, last night. Can we make it at a different time? It's 9:30 at night before. Everyone else has it locked up. Then day of the show, dude, traffic is too much. So it's just like, just so you know, the rock.
Just so you know, I'm only 2.5 weeks out from a fight, and this is, you know.
Just so you know, I'm a rock. I'm the rock.
Okay.
Fuck the rock, okay. Dwayne.
Okay.
The rock is here.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
The rock is here.
Okay.
I'm the real rock. I'm the anchor.
Mm.
Fuck Brian Williams. I'm the real anchor.
There's
and
such
I tell
anchor.
The truth.
You anyway. Are the truth.
So, by the way, Jake was training with Anderson Silva recently. I wanted to hear about that.
It.
I want to see that. I want to hear about that. Now, and
why don't we just call him?
Well, we have a very, very stacked show today. We have Cody No Love on
we
the show.
We got Travis Brown.
We have Travis Brown, and we have Bubba McDaniel straight from jail. So he just got out of jail last week. So he's looking for a fight. He didn't have enough money to pay a traffic ticket because he needs a fight that bad.
I met Bubba.
I like Bubba. He's John Jones' old training partner.
Yeah.
Has a victory over Kevin Casey. I mean, the dude's like got some decent wins.
In a good way.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. By the way, last week, the Chris Weidman interview got over 8,000 plays on SoundCloud alone. Got a big write-up, all kinds of things. And it sounded as if at the end he hung up on us because he was upset about my wrestling credentials. He did not hang up on us. We got disconnected because I called him afterwards, and he said...
To clear it up.
Just to clear it up. He thought we hung up on him. But I did text Tom Ryan, who was the Ohio State National Championship Wrestling Coach, because Chris White, people have been texting me saying, dude, you really didn't get a scholarship to Hofstra. That's bullshit. No one from prep school is going to get a scholarship. Marina, will you please read this? This is a DM between me and Tom Ryan, the coach of Ohio State. Please read that, Marina.
It says, hey, man, would love to have you on my podcast sometime.
This is between me and Tom Ryan. Go on.
Also... Just so everybody is clear, this is a conversation between Adam Hunter, the comedian, and Tom Ryan.
Right.
Also, Chris Weidman came on my last show last week and doesn't believe I went to your wrestling camp and that you offered me a partial ride to Hofstra. I told him I went on the recruiting trip and stayed with Mike Quaglio.
Yes.
But he parentheses, busting my chops, unparentheses, said it never happened. Can you confirm this happened? Laugh out loud, period.
This is Tom Ryan's response.
This is Tom Ryan's response. Right. Laugh out loud. Yes, it happened, period. Go Pride.
Oh, yes. See? So there you go, fuckers. Okay, all you guys who are saying that 20 years ago I did not get that scholarship. Marina read it, guys, just so you know. It happened.
I also wasn't born in this country, and English is my second language. I'm just kidding.
Oh, come on. Now you're disqualifying yourself from jury duty? No, that's not true. Okay? So it really did happen. Granted, I didn't actually. I went to Binghamton, wrestled for a semester, and quit. But I did get the scholarship. So there you go, Chris Weidman. Now, the fights last week. We'll talk about the fights real quick. Joanna Champion. You watched that fight?
I watched that fight.
Looks like a fucking beast of a woman.
Didn't we establish that the last time?
We established that she was legit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still not. Look, her fight with Claudia, I was there. I thought Claudia won. It was very close. But she has been on a different level to the point where Jessica Penny, I like Jessica. She's a friend of mine. I was really hoping they were going to stop this fight sooner. At a certain point, Jessica turned away.
Yep.
I think as soon as a fighter turns away, the ref should just immediately stop the fight because that was way too much damage that girl needed to take. I don't know who's going to beat Joanna. Honestly, I would think someone like Carla Esparza, a wrestler, but I think she's too small to get in.
Honestly, the only type of fighter that is going to beat Joanna is somebody like Joanna.
Is it like a tall striker?
Yes.
You don't think like a big...
No.
A 135-pounder going down to 115 wrestler type?
She has such a great team around her. It's going to have to be taken to her deep waters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly believe that there's no female fighter in the 115-pound division with the caliber of striking she has, because I've never seen a 115er sit on her punches like she does, except for Jemima Bertrand, who I train with. Fucking actually popped my eardrum when I did.
Yeah, I heard this girl Jemima is legit.
Like, Jemima is absolutely legit, and she, once she gets into MMA just a little bit more, I think that is a fight worth talking about and seeing. But as far as the 115ers in the UFC right now, no one can touch Joanna.
She's making everyone look really bad. She's going off on people.
I was on Instagram the other day, and somebody put out like a tweet by Reebok or something saying that they don't want
fighting Paige VanZant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that fake or was that real?
It was fake.
Okay. But that is hilarious.
It might as well be real because there's actually a petition on the underground to have her not fight Paige VanZant. No one wants to see her face get screwed up like that because Paige is also a striker. I think I disagree with you there. I think it'll take a wrestler. A female or a judo person who can get it to the ground. Matt Brown recently said she's the most dominant female in MMA. I disagree with that because Ronda Rousey has never been really even touched. I mean, she got in that one pickle against Liz Carmouche, you know, but other than that, whereas this girl...
And then she got unpickled?
This girl arguably lost against Claudia, so I don't think you could say she's the most dominant. Her last two fights, though...
Yeah, but you have to... You're saying it as though she didn't learn her lesson against Claudia.
No, she did learn her lesson.
You know what I mean? Like, her defensive tactics in her striking, especially the sprawling and the movement, that all is completely different. Like, I love Jessica. Great fighter. But the way that she wasn't taking an angle to shoot in on her, she was shooting directly into her. Like, somebody that kind of level striking, you always need to take angles. You can't go straight on. You're just asking for an ass-whooping. So, that's just my opinion.
But so you think she's more dominant than Ronda Rousey?
No.
So then we're agreeing.
Because her... No, she's... She hasn't shown another she hasn't shown another side of her fight style. Nobody is able to walk through her striking.
Yeah.
Just like nobody is able to walk through Ronda Rousey's grappling.
Right.
So, no.
Do you think Ronda's more dominant?
Yeah, because she has more tools.
Yeah, I also think that Ronda's never been in a close fight. That was the argument. Ronda's never even been really threatened.
And Ronda Listen. Ronda knows how to take the fight into her world every time, every single time. And that has been shown over and over and over and over again. I have seen it over and over and over again in the gym. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. And, you know, if Joanna keeps people in her world, she's going to continue being a dominant fighter.
Yeah, I don't know who's going. I mean, people are saying that, you know, Rose Namajunas, I think she's too small for this girl. I don't know who's there at 115 that will give her a fight. I mean, maybe someone like Rowdy Beck will land an uppercut and hurt her. But it just, I don't know. But she could get caught. You can make a face all you want, Evan, but she could always get caught. I'm saying the girl could get caught. Everyone, GSP got caught by Matt Serra.
You seen her take a shot?
Who?
Joanna.
No.
She's been hit hard before.
By who?
Have you seen her Muay Thai fights?
No.
Maybe you should take a look.
Oh, have you seen her Muay Thai fights?
Yes, I have.
Oh, well, maybe I'll take a look.
Yes.
I still think she can get caught. You're saying she can't get hurt.
Everybody can get hurt, but she recovers. She is conditioned to recover in circumstances like that. Whereas, you know, somebody like Jessica isn't.
Jessica can't recover, you're saying?
I don't think she's
not conditioned to recover?
No, not yet, no.
Yeah, I mean, right now she's looking like a beast. I don't know who's going to beat her. I think she's right now she's looking like the top five girl. Top five, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But you never know. I mean, it's only been two fights that she's looked like a world beater. No problem. Now, some other fights. Kamajiri beat Dennis Seaver. That was a good fight. It's good to see him get a win. He said that all fighters, the only people that took steroids in Pride were the foreigners. I disagree with that. I think almost everyone took steroids in Pride. Or not almost everyone, but many, many fighters did. Nick Hine, I loved his fight, but that whole German speech at the end was pretty scary. At the end. You watch that?
Mm-mm.
He did this speech to the crowd, and everyone, it was almost like a... I felt like I was, my grandfather would have been very worried. That's what I'm saying. It was a lot of World War II people were sent into shock after that. This guy, Amir Khani, another big one. And, you know, there was a bunch of really good guys. Amir Khani, another one in second fight in a row. And then afterwards, he tweeted to Dana, "Hey, Dana, I think you forgot my bonus." So it was just, this guy's got balls. I like him. And Arnold Allen took the fight on like 1 week notice. He fights with Jack Stone Mason, who is a fan of our podcast, been on our podcast before. He's a Luke Barnas trainer. He's like a truck driver during a night.
How is Luke doing?
I called Luke a couple times. He hasn't called me back. I hope he's doing all right. But I was happy because I said that like his fight was so good, his mom extended his curfew because he's young. And then afterwards, I tweeted him like, "Good job." And he's like, "Thanks, my mom extended my curfew." That was pretty funny. I like when that shit happens. At one point during the fight, I said that three men were finished in a row, or as Angela Magana calls it, Monday afternoon. And Magana retweeted it.
Of course she did.
I like Magana. I hope she beats the Karate Hottie. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope she wins. I like having her around. I don't know the Karate Hottie. She's fucking hot, and she's a good fighter. But there's something about Magana and her personality.
And she's such a great mom.
Is she?
She's such a great mom.
How do you know?
I follow her on Instagram.
Oh, come on. You can't tell. Really? That's how you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know. She dedicated... You know, her whole fight career is dedicated to her baby.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's a good mom. Is she a single mom?
I don't know.
Probably.
You should look into that.
Yeah, whoever answers our trivia question, is the Karate Hottie a single mom, gets a free ride with Marina Shafir to the airport. So just so you know, if you answer that question right, you can take her to the airport. So, Bellator. Have you watched the Bellator fights last week?
No.
This is a fighting...
I'm training!
Fucking fighting podcast. My co-hosts don't watch the fights. I end up talking to myself.
Hey, at least I'm funny.
At least I'm funny. You know how many times I said that to women? You are good. Oh, yeah. And fucking humble. Jesus Christ.
So humble.
You're funny. At least I'm funny and good looking. Is that really what you do? You tell yourself, you look in the mirror and go, "I'm funny and good looking.
On bad days, sometimes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like naked when you're, or just clothes?
Absolutely. I'll just stand in front of the mirror and just be like, "Hey, at least I'm funny and I'm good looking."
Wow. Just butt naked.
Buck ass naked.
Wow. Shaved or no?
You would.
The fans
Bellator
wanna know.
Fights.
The fans wanna know.
The fans wanna know my ass.
They wanna know about your ass. Exactly.
Exactly.
The fans wanna know about your
ass. Well, let's talk about the Bellator
fights.
It's
a very big ass, but it's nice. Okay, so the Bellator fights, people. I've never thought a fight was fixed before. Actually, the Mark Coleman fight back in the day. This Kimbo Shamrock fight.
I did see this.
I mean, first of all, the ref was like, "Touch dentures" to start the fight. Kimbo came out. Well, Shamrock came out with one of the wrestlers, which is pretty awesome. I think it was Hawk. Oh, Animal. Animal. Hawk
Animal.
Passed away. Animal came out with Animal, which is awesome to see, like, one of the Legion of Doom. But it was, I think the fight was fixed. And I know Rogan said it was fixed. Rogan broke it down a very specific. The way that they had like ear, it was like ear to ear, like they were locking up, almost like heavyweights wrestle at the end. Then Ken Shamrock hit a single leg that was probably the weakest single I've ever. He just grabbed his leg and Kimbo fell down. It wasn't even like an attempt.
A struggle.
It was not even a struggle. And it wasn't even like a fucking knee pick single where you're putting pressure on the left shoulder and pick up the right. He just basically just attempted to pick up his leg. Kimbo falls down. Then Ken gets him in a rear naked choke. And Kimbo's doing nothing to defend it. Nothing.
But he's got that beard.
He does have the beard, but it looked like he easily could have finished it. And then there was...
But then he's got the beard.
Then Ken thought he tapped. Even though he didn't tap, he kind of let him up. Kimbo got up, punched him, and then Ken was out. So that was the fight.
Kimbo, the way he looks when he's like being choked out and the way he looks naturally are like two very similar looks.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's a great analysis. But I'm just saying. So Vinny Magalish tweets out, if you don't think that fight was a fix, you're fucking stupid. Nick the Tooth was like, that looked very, very suspect. All of a sudden, people started saying that it was a fix. I think it was. I honestly think it was. I watched it like three times, this fight, and Rogan breaks it down to like, okay, he has the guy down. He has his hooks in. Why is he not punching?
He's tired and old.
<I'm sorry. laughs> So somebody, Nick Buston, said that Ken Shamrock fell asleep during the sub attempt. Like, he fell asleep while on top. It was very suspicious. Very, very suspicious. And which sucks because you had a lot of eyeballs on that. A lot of people wanted to watch that fight. And then it's like, what are you doing? I was happy for Mike Chandler. Chandler looked great.
He did.
Bobby Lashley looks the part. He looks like a fucking killer, but something isn't clicking with this guy. I don't know if he's just too big, but just something is like, he won, but it's weird. He looks the part. He's got the wrestling background.
Something's missing.
Something is missing. A fight coming up that I can't wait for, Al Iaquinta, Gilbert Melendez. I'm going to be San Diego. I'm going to be there. You calling?
It's in San Diego. I can't not go.
Yes. It's going to be a good fight.
I want to go.
Who do you like in that fight?
I gotta go with Gilbert.
Really?
I gotta go with Gilbert.
A lot of people are saying that he's just a different level than Al Iaquinta. Al's coming off a victory that maybe people thought he lost against Masvidal. It was a very controversial fight.
Yeah.
Man, I want Al to win. I like Al Iaquinta.
I love these matchups.
Yeah.
These matchups are good.
And you gotta give Gilbert credit for taking the fight on like 2 days' notice. I mean, taking a fight on very short notice. Yeah. But I love Al. There's a video of Al at a birthday party recently where he's in this neighborhood and in Long Island and he dresses up as a pro wrestler.
Oh my God, this is awesome.
And he fights in someone's backyard at a 10-year-old birthday party. And all the kids are like, Al's here, Al. it was so cute. So anyway, we got to call Travis Brown right now. Then we got to call Cody No Love. We got Bubba. It's a stack show. Before we call Travis Brown, I want to thank some of our sponsors. I want to thank removeitrestoration.com. If gang members have taken over your business storefront, I hate when that happens. Trust me, guys, call Remove It Restoration. They will take care of it. They will get rid of that graffiti. Also, HempCore. I'm telling you guys, this 100% hemp protein. Put it in drinks, food, universal. Man has been using this stuff forever for a reason, and that reason is this good for you?
This raisin.
And also, I want to thank our other sponsor, American Icon Autographs, website AIASE.com. The guy Sean is a super cool guy, big MMA fan, big UFC fan, came to my comedy, he's got a hot wife, the whole deal.
Don't throw your notes at me.
I was just throwing them down and they happened to go in your direction.
Uh-huh.
Don't throw your notes, like that's a thing. He threw his notes at me. Like, okay, so we're going to call Travis Brown right now. You have his number?
Yeah, I gave it to him.
Okay.
Hello.
Travis!
Hey, is this Travis Brown?
What up? It is, the one and only.
It's Adam Hunter and Marina Shafir. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How's it going, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Are you in Hawaii?
No, I'm in Vegas. big difference, big difference. No, I'm in Vegas right now.
Oh,
do
nice.
Do you wish you were in Hawaii?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I want to. When I finally retire, I'll retire over there.
Nice.
That's a great fucking exit strategy plan.
Now, the last time I saw you, Travis, was at the MMA Awards like 2 years ago. I think you had won every single award there.
Yeah, it was close, but you know that was 2 years ago. That's not now, unfortunately.
Hey man, it's life's a roller coaster. You know, you got ups, downs, ups, downs. But I was doing research on you, man. I mean, what's amazing about you, or it's a lot of amazing things, but one of the amazing things is that you had no MMA experience until 26 years old. That's insane. Like, I mean, there's not a basketball player in the NBA who could pick up basketball at 26.
Yep. Hello?
Hello? Well, that was Travis Brown. I guess we offended him by the first question. I guess we have to call Evan back here. So let's. we got disconnected.
Something happened.
So anyway,
technical difficulties. In the meantime, let's talk about Adam's Tinder.
Yeah, well,
are you back on Tinder?
I am back on Tinder, but I'm looking forward to.
I love how
it.
You like go back and forth from retiring from Tinder and then coming back.
Well, what happened?
You're like the Jay-Z of Tinder.
Well. One of the reasons that I got off it the first time is because one of your friends saw me on it and then screenshotted it and sent it to you. Mm-hmm. And then you sent it to me, Jake Ellenberger, and who else? And then started laughing. And then while I was here one day talking, you thought that I didn't know that you had shown Jake the picture while I'm talking.
I didn't tell him not to tell you.
Oh, yeah. No, it was.
It wasn't like some big secret.
That was ridiculous. And I know your friend also, by the way, who I swiped left on, who got offended probably because
she did not get offended.
She probably swiped right.
How do you know that you're even her type?
Well, I don't know if I'm her type. I don't want to be her type.
Okay. So
I don't care if I'm her type.
So you're trying to make it into an issue. Just saying.
There's no issue here. The only issue is that you're screenshotting it, sending it to my friends. There was no issue.
That's hilarious.
It is hilarious. So anyway, we got disconnected. That's
Do you need it again?
No.
You got it. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Travis?
Sorry about that.
Oh my God. You should have. Adam was all like, well, I guess we offended Travis Brown. And he hung up on us with that first question.
What?
Was that my phone? I don't know.
I don't know whose phone it was.
He's like, oops, did I press that?
But what we were saying is that you started MMA at 26 years old, which is insane because there's not a football player or a basketball player or a baseball player that picks up a sport at 26 and makes the pros. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wanted to show my, you know, the way I got into it, is I just wanted to show my kids that they're athletes, and initially I just wanted to get my black belt in jiu-jitsu, and then, you know, just turned into MMA. So, you know, luckily it's one of the sports that you can do that, you know, they'll take a serious look at you even though you're getting a later start.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been.
I think that's one thing that I'll constantly battle. You know. Just the experience level, you know. A lot of guys went through their growing pains like I'm going through now, but they went through them, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, like to not have that, like, wrestling base has got to be tough, you know, or to have that.
Yeah, the thing that's helped me, though, is that I don't have, you know, like a wrestler's bad habits or, you know, like a boxer's bad habits. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm learning everything based on MMA. You know what I mean? I'm learning wrestling for MMA. I'm learning striking for MMA, you know, cause there's always an adjustment. You know, I'm sure Marina will say even like in judo, you know, there's judo for MMA. There's
Absolutely.
Certain things that in the judo match, you don't want to necessarily do in an MMA fight, you know?
Yeah. It's so funny because once I started doing MMA, I would intermittently go back to, you know, go back to training judo. And you're absolutely right. There are certain things that that kind of started transferring. I'm like, fuck, I can't get back into the habit of doing that.
Right.
Because in judo, a lot of the throws that you do or a lot of throws that you go into, you kind of expose your back. And unless the person is really off balance, you're going to get your back taken. So.
Yeah. Well, back, you know, that leads to more than just getting your back taken. You know, in MMA, that leads to, you know, somebody being on top of you when they turtled up and just pounding away. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's so many things from that there's, you know, there's always, you know, I can always look at it as like, you know, I don't have that base, you know, that necessary base that I think a lot of these guys have. But at the same time, the way I like to look at it is I don't have a lot of the mistakes either. You know what I mean? But I do lack in the experience of the one-on-one competition. You know, like for me, it was team sports, you know. It was always, you know, that kind of atmosphere is completely different than the one-on-one.
How, and I was reading about how in basketball, you were the 2000 Coastal North League Player of the Year in San Diego.
Yeah.
How close were you to making the pros in basketball?
You know, I had offers to go overseas and play in kind of like the smaller leagues and stuff like that. But I just didn't, you know, for me, it would have been fun for a while, but then I would be coming back after playing what, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years on that circuit. And coming back with nothing, you know what I mean? With having to like start over and do that whole thing. So, you know, I opted to, you know, just work and you know, put my time in that way. And then, I was married before. And so, when we learned that she was pregnant with my first son, you know, I just couldn't give up. Like, you know, I didn't want my son to have that life of just like, you know, like that working life, the 9-to-5, and just kind of like, I felt like I was settling, if that makes sense, you know what I mean? And it kind of shows that I was at the time, you know, being able to pick up something so late in life, you know, especially in athletic career. You know, I just wanted to pursue and show my son that. So
you felt like how could you tell your son to live his dream if you're not kind of going after yours?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now,
you know, like, oh, you're an athlete. Like, you just push yourself as far as being an athlete. You know what I mean? And whatever you do, just do it, and you'll be successful. Look at me. You know what I mean? Like, I did this at 26. Think about if you started when you're younger. You know.
Now, your last fight against Arlovsky was one of the craziest, most exciting fights I've ever seen in my life. It was so back and forth. Now, a couple of things. Like, when he hit you that first time, how out of it were you?
When what happened? I'm sorry.
When he connected with that first big shot, did the room kind of flip? Were you rocked? Were you like, oh shit, where am I right now?
He's asking because he's never been hurt before.
Yes. Well,
Adam really has never been hit hard ever.
Well, that's true.
Well, you know, the thing that I remember, I just, you know, I remember like getting hit, and then I remember being against the cage and having him kind of hit me and me covering up. Like, I don't, like, there's a couple seconds there that, you know, I just kind of, either I choose not to remember it, or, you know, I kind of got blanked there for a second. But, you know, then after that, I just kind of remember, you know, just not being 100% myself, you know, and you know, and it kind of shows, because in the fight, I think both of us threw a right hand, and then I go, instead of stepping off like I should, I just kind of like came back to where I was. And he hit me with some like low backhand, back fist or something like that, that kind of grazed me even. And I freaking fell down. You know what I mean? That, you know, I mean, I kind of showed that I have a chin in that fight, but like, that's what I mean. That shouldn't have put me on my butt. You know what I mean? So
right.
I can't really tell you how hurt I was, because, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I got up, and, you know, I'm not going to go down for anybody. So they put me down. So, you know, I mean, I'm guessing I was pretty hurt.
Well, there was one shot where you
I hate to admit it.
There was one time where you hit him and he went down. I think it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy! It might have been one of the. At one point, that was one of the best. But were you fighting on all instinct at that point?
Yeah, that was me being like, you know, F you, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. You know what I mean? So that was just like, just want to freaking sock this guy and drop him and finish the fight. I just wanted to punch him as hard as he was punching me. It was pretty much like, you know, we're cock measuring and, you know, I won for a split second and then I lost again.
Yeah. Go ahead, you know,
the initial unveiling, I was looking good and then I lost. And then he pulled the
So it's like you had a cock and then he got an extra boner and then you were like, fuck. It was like, you were like semi hard. Yeah, exactly. He kind of had a huge shaft going.
This is the most awkward conversation for me right now.
Come on, you've seen your fair share of cocks, right, Marina?
You're
how many?
It's like
welcome.
This is what we do, and you know, in women's MMA, is we measure vaginas.
Really?
No.
Marina, how many cocks have you seen?
Like, move on.
All right. Okay.
Is it like? Never mind. I'm not even going to go there. I'll leave it alone.
Smart move.
Now, one of my favorite fights of yours was the Overeem fight because you took everything that guy had. I mean, he must have landed 50 fucking punches on you, and then you were like, nope, not going anywhere. Dinged him, and he went down. Is that the fight you're most proud of?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fight that I'm proud of. You know, it's funny because even though those ones were like big fights for me, and you know, people keep congratulating like you did about Arlovski and stuff, saying that was an amazing fight. But in my mind, you know, the Arlovski fight should never have been that close. In my mind, when I fought Overeem, I should have done what I was doing towards the end of that fight, the entire fight, so I wouldn't put myself in that position. So it's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I appreciate it and thank you so much. But, you know, for me, it's like the fights like I had maybe against Gonzaga or, you know, like Stefan Struve, where it's just like I was on my game plan and everything worked and boom, it was done. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, it's like those are the ones I'm most proud of, even though I show resilience and heart in the other ones. You know what I mean? So, like, hey, maybe my coaches and my family can be proud of me for those fights. You know what I mean?
You know what my fight is your favorite?
What I did wrong in those fights.
One of the fight that is my favorite of yours is the one with you and Brendan Schaub. Oh. Why is that funny?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That one was, sure. It was just, sure, well, it was just a great fight.
That one actually is exactly what I'm talking about.
You were dialed in.
Where I did everything like I was supposed to do. And then you see what I can do when I put the pieces together and when I'm fluid and when everything's just working. You know what I mean? And that's what I mean. That's just, I'm still working on getting that experience. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still working on getting that consistent where I'm just just fight night, I'm ready to go. Like, not worried about it. There's all the butterflies and this and that or whatever, and it's just ready to fight. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I've had 12 fights in the UFC, and I feel like I'm still learning so much every time I either get in there or every time I even train.
Were you now? I know that you fought Verdum. Verdum just, you know, destroyed Cain Velasquez. Were you surprised that happened or no?
I was surprised that it happened like that. But you know, at the same time, I would have figured, you know, altitude is no joke. People obviously, you know, that camp didn't understand what altitude does to you. You know what I mean? And for him to go out there 8 days before the fight, you're gonna make it so much worse on you. Because that's when the altitude really starts to set in. You're not getting used to it. That's when, like, you're at your worst. It's like the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're getting at your worst. And then, you know, after about a month in, 5 weeks in, your body starts to adapt. You know, I used to train in Albuquerque, and I used to go out, you know, 3 weeks early before my camp would start just to try to get used to altitude, and then I would start a camp, you know, because altitude is such a big factor in that stuff. And, you know, so afterwards it was, you know, I wasn't surprised from what happened during the fight. I was watching and I was like, man, you know, he's just not used to altitude. And that's exactly what happened. You watch him in the first round and he did exactly what he did every other fight. You watch the first minute of the second round he did exactly what he's done every other fight. And then the second minute of the second round, he just tanked it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like in between rounds, he just was not able to recover. And that's what altitude does to you. Your body just shuts down.
So if they have another fight on sea level and like in Vegas, who do you like in that rematch?
Man, you know, I mean, you know, I hate to, you know, just, you know, go with it and be like that. But I mean, Verdum's really showed himself, you know, comes out and beats a guy like Cain like that. You know, but at the same time, if Cain can do in the first round for five rounds, you know, it'd be hard, I think, for Verdum to win that. So that's a toss up, man. I can't really, that's a pick 'em for me.
What about Connor versus Aldo?
Man, that's gonna be that's an interesting fight. I don't think Connor's ever fought somebody like Aldo before. I mean, Aldo's the next level kind of fighter and athlete. But at the same time, if you look at the division, Aldo has never fought anybody like McGregor either. And so, you know, that can be a very interesting fight. It can either go one way or the other very quickly and easily, or it can be just like a fight of the century kind of a thing. Cause you know, McGregor's shown that he's not going to back down from anybody or anything. And Aldo's the same way. So,
right now, I know after your last fight, Matt Mitrione put on Twitter that he wants to fight you. And did you respond to him at all or no?
Yeah. No. I mean, if I responded to everybody, I was trying to call me out. It's like, so I'd spend my time doing, you know what I mean? It's like, well, what's that going to accomplish? You know, like if he really wants to get something set up, he knows the guy that's going to do it. The fans aren't going to do it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, just, you know, if you want the fight, call up Joe and tell him you want the fight. Like, I don't understand how hard that is. I just don't play those games. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm on social media as least as possible,
yeah,
as the minimum that I have to be.
You're probably,
you know,
smart.
I mean? Otherwise,
so smart.
Yeah.
You know,
you're probably smart.
I freaking hate that stuff, man.
Now, I remember seeing pictures.
Yeah, I just don't play those games.
Now, are you single again? Because I like couldn't tell if you were single or not.
Yeah.
You are single?
Yeah. 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 I don't know what I mean. Like, oh, that's a tough one. But,
because honestly, your ex-girl, I thought your ex-girlfriend was way too hot. Honestly, I think that because I was like, every time you had a fight, I'm like, there's no way he's going to win. You can't have that girl to go home to. You got to stay hungry. Right?
Well, I'm not with her anymore. So,
okay.
You know, we'll leave it at that. But,
right.
You know, it's yeah, I mean, it's a tough question to answer right now. It's a good one, though.
I mean, are you on Tinder or a lot of girls? How does Travis Brown get down? I mean, you're a big.
Oh no, I don't. I'm not a Tinder kind of guy. I'm not, you know, I don't go out to the clubs and, you know, try to prey on the weak or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's no, I'm just honestly, I'm a simple person, man, and you know, like, I don't.
What do you mean by prey on the weak? Like the girls at the club are weak?
You know, like these guys that go out there and try to freaking, you know, try to hit on all these chicks or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like out at the club and freaking take them home and all that stuff. Like that's just not me. It's
so
not my style.
So then, how do you meet girls though? I mean, you got kids. You got an ex family. You have an ex wife.
Yeah, face to face, man. You know, like if it ain't real, then you know, it ain't worth it
right
to me.
Hmm.
So that's, you know, yeah, that's a good one.
That's cool.
Oh, shit.
Because I know that Marina's single, but, too. I thought maybe you and Marina could, what do you, right? No? 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 She gets angry. Okay. All right.
Hey,
there you
Marina,
go.
What do you have going on, Marina? What do you have going on?
I got a lot of training going on. MMA is like my boyfriend.
MMA is your boyfriend?
Yeah.
There you go.
Are you going to be at her fight in Vegas?
My girlfriend.
Are you going to be at her fight?
It's on the 15th, right?
No, it's on the 9th.
The 9th at Invicta in Vegas.
9th?
Yeah.
I might be able to make that. If it fails on the 15th, I wasn't going to be able to make it because I'm doing like a camping trip with my kids, camping, fishing, hunting thing for that week.
Dang. But
nice.
I might be able to do the 9th.
Uh-oh.
That'd be great.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Careful. We're gonna go tear it up. You know what I mean?
It's at the Cosmo in Vegas.
Watch out.
So let's go. Let's, hey. Travis, all right. So how about this? Me and you, we go out to watch Marina. After the fight, we go to a club and watch Me Pray on the Week. What do you say? Are you
I'll
in?
I feel
you.
Like
I'll,
if
I'll,
you're
I'll
going
to.
Yeah, I want tips. Hell yeah. I want Travis Brown dating tips.
There you go. There
all right.
You go.
What's your number one tip on picking up a chick? What's the number one thing you would give a guy like me?
Oh, man. You know what? I don't even know. I don't have.
No. Just be creative. Just be embrace your creativity right now. Just be your.
Embrace my creativity.
Yeah, and just give him.
Girl.
Okay, when you look. Wait. So when you look at like the pathetic. When you look at the pathetic guy at the club just trying to hit on all the guys, what do you want to tell
him? All the guys.
What
the fuck are you
girls.
Talking about?
Sorry.
I'm the pathetic guy?
I don't know. I don't know if I can help you on that one.
I'm not the pathetic guy at the club. Fuck your creativity and fuck Marina. Listen, okay? That's not even close to what happened. All right?
Why are you sweating?
I'm not sweating. Listen, Travis Brown, it was an honor to have you on the show, man. You're one of my favorite fighters. You always bring it, man. Always bring it. You could fight 100 times. I would watch 100 times, man. So thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Travis.
Yeah, of course, man. Anytime. And when I'm in town, I'll come in the studio and stuff. And it's a lot better time when it's face-to-face.
We would love to have you on.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
Take care.
Cool. Thanks, guys. We'll see
you.
Bye-bye.
Hilarious. Fucking hilarious.
All right. So can I
love Mondays.
All right. So now we have
Mondays are like my favorite day.
Really? Because of the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny seeing him sweat, right? Because you never see. He's such a tough guy. It's funny to see him actually like, you know, like he's such a, you know, he's a Hawaiian, right?
He's like a manly man.
Hawaiians are the coolest people.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird knowing like when he probably walks around at like 230, 240, right? Travis Brown.
I would assume so.
Knowing you could just fuck up 99% of the population. It's got to be a crazy feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Right, Evan the Beard?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, so we are calling Cody No Love right now, who is an undefeated fighter, 6-0, 4 first-round stoppages.
And is it official, Paige and him are dating?
We're going to find out if he's dating Paige Van Zandt.
Because that's all Adam wants
to know. It's not true. He was 32-1 as an amateur boxer, wrestling All-American. This kid is the truth. And I can't wait to talk to him. Cody No Love.
He's got some nice tattoos.
Cody Garbrandt.
And some nice hair. I can appreciate his hairstyle.
What about his fighting skills?
That too.
I'm 6-0.
That he's very good.
But it's great. Hey, is this Cody No Love?
This is Cody. What's up, man?
What's up, man? You're on the MMA Roasted podcast with me and Marina Shafir.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
We're talking about you, man. We're talking about how some of your accolades. You're 6-0, undefeated. You were 32-1 as an amateur boxer. You're with Team Alpha Male. You got the world is your oyster right now. How's it going? How you feeling?
Just going to ask the question that he really wants to ask.
No, we'll get to that later. Okay, Cody, how's everything going with the fighting?
Yeah, I feel good. You know, this is a great training camp. I'm feeling great, you know, firing all cylinders. You know, just a little less than 3 weeks out now, so it's just about fine-tuning everything and showing up on fight day.
Now, who are you fighting in 3 weeks?
I'm fighting Henry Briones. He's trains at Alliance, I guess.
Henry, and now, is that fight in San Diego?
No, that's on the UFC 189 card.
Oh, you're fighting on the 89 card? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Why did I not know that?
I know everything.
Giving me no
but not
love,
anymore.
Man. I've given you no love. No, man. I can't. Okay, so did you know that Evan the Beard is fighting on that card? I was at your last fight, by the way, against Marcus Brimage. That was a great fight, man. It was a back and forth fight. It was probably your toughest fight to date, right?
Yeah, it was a tough fight. You know, it was good. You know, Marcus, you know, his game plan was really well. Came in ready to fight, and that's what I figured. But yeah, it was a great fight and great one to have my first UFC debut against him.
No, that was awesome. You look great. Everybody, I was actually sitting with his team though. That was like, I was like, oh man, I was secretly rooting for you, but I happened to be sitting with his team. Now I was looking at some of your stuff. You were Ohio State wrestling champion as a freshman. Yeah. And then you won it. You came second in the state a sophomore, and then you got bored with wrestling in high school.
Kind of got in some like disciplinary action, and I got hurt my junior year and just kind of lost the love for wrestling and just, got into fighting and boxing, and I was doing that, you know, kind of my passion shifted over to that.
But what a great crossover.
Right. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. It's good. I tried out college, went to college, after not wrestling for 2 years, and then kind of walked away from college and continued fighting, gotten back into fighting and, made my way out here.
But I mean, that must have had a lot of pressure on you to win the states as a freshman, right? I mean, that must have put that's not easy to do. It's almost impossible. So
it was nice. You know what I mean? I pictured myself winning it, and a lot of people had me, not even making it to state. Just worked hard and believed in myself and made it come true.
So what kind of disciplinary trouble did you get into where you couldn't wrestle?
Oh, well, my junior year, I just got in. I hurt my back in football. I broke my back in football and transferred over to wrestling and didn't know. And then ended up, finding out that I had this injury from football from a while ago and couldn't wrestle that year. And then going into my senior year, I was playing football, came out for football, and got into a fight before the school. Took year and I basically got kicked out of the school. It's kind of set up. I was set up, but that's in the past. But I ended up leaving that school and going to a rival. And then when I tried to transfer back to the school after the football season was over, the OHSA suspended me because I did an illegal in-season transfer, so I didn't wrestle my junior or senior year.
Wow.
Dang.
That coach must have been, your high school coach must have been pissed. I know as a coach, I'd be so pissed if I had a kid that won it as a freshman, took second in as a sophomore, and then can't wrestle. So, I mean, this is a big story for you, man. I mean, you could have easily been that guy who, was hanging out at 7-Eleven and drinking with teenagers and, living in a trailer right now. I mean, that could have easily been like, oh, that's Cody. That kid could have been something.
He could have been, He had potential, And so that's something I want to have, I want to be. And there's a lot of my boys that I grew up with, they're doing the same shit, So I had to break off from that. I made it out here a year ago and, started making the right decisions and, planting the seed. And now I'm here and getting ready for my second UFC fight. So things are great.
Now, when you walk into Team Alpha Male, right? Because I know the guys over at Team Alpha Male, they're a great bunch of guys, but there's a lot of egos there. These guys are kind of like the king of their domain. And you walk in and you're all tatted up, your neck's all tatted everywhere, your hair looks like very chic and hipster, you're a good looking guy. Are these guys like Benavidez and Dillashaw and Uriah? Like, who the fuck is this guy? Are they giving you dirty looks in the beginning?
No, it was cool. I came out there and I just went to the practice, went to training, kept to myself, talked to a few of them after practice, and, I was only out here a week when I came out to check it out, and really no one was in the gym. It was in between my club, just got done having fights, and then I came back a week later after talking to Faber, and he's asking what I wanted to do. I was 1-0 at the time when I came out here, and I come off a long, almost a year layoff. I had a broken hand, and I had some head trauma that I went to rehab for and got that situated and feeling good, so I took a fight and decided to come out to Alpha Male and see where I was going to go with it. So coming out here was a thing just to prove that how good I was, believe in myself and skills, and I just had to come and see for myself. So training with these guys, I think the best gym some of, you know, the best fighters around my way, and came out here, and then, you know, stayed a week, and then flew back a week later and did like a 3-week camp and ended up fighting. But yeah, you know, they have a lot of respect, you know, like you said, there's a lot of lions out here and you come in the domain. So it's just, you know, at first, you know, it's everyone wants to get a shot at you, and that's how it is. So, you know, I stayed out, you know, it was either sink or swim out here, and I was swimming with them. So,
so what was it? What was it that like really convinced you that you wanted to train there?
No, I mean, just the success they've had over the years, and I've been following them for a while, all their careers. My buddy Lance was actually out here and was, you know, hey, you got to come out and check the gym. You got to come out here. This is the gym you need to be at. For years, you know, like 3 years, you're trying to get me to come out. I finally did. But I guess this is a positive, you know, positive mental attitude, you know, going in just every day, getting better, you know, and the grind that they did, you know, it's kind of, you know, 6 days, 7 days a week sometimes, you know, 2-3 times a day, just the grind, just talking about it, just grinding it out. You know, that's what we're known for, coming in shape, you know, working hard, and just the positivity that, you know, that I got from it, and just the energy in the room, you know, energy in the room, just everyday training was like, all right, motherfuckers, let's go, you know, time to train. You know? So that was always uplifting to go in there, and not like, oh, I got to go train, but, you know, we went, and they're like, all right, today's the day to get better, we're about to get after it. So, just that, just energy.
Well, it's definitely paying off. Speaking of paying off, I got to ask you, man. So the word around the MMA community is that you and Paige VanZant are an item. Is this true?
True or not? Yeah.
Whoa.
We've been seeing each other for a little while now, and kind of started coming out with it more. But we're still focused on our careers and training and stuff. But yeah.
Now, how did that come about? She was at Alpha Male already, and you were kind of looking at her, and you were like, that's this cute girl right there.
Just after a grappling session, that was all she wrote. I got Froyo, and that was it.
Wait. Really?
In the sunset. No.
Oh.
Talking, and you know, we do the same, you know, schedule in the gym, out of gym, kind of. You know, kind of that kind of deal. Just hung out and then just kind of hit it off, and, you know, super cool chick and fits my lifestyle and I fit her, so it just kind of works out.
So, all right, so you guys, you're at the same gym, you're checking her out, she's checking you out. There has to be some kind of, like, in the beginning, right, isn't, I don't know, you're a fighter, I don't want to get a reputation. I mean, is there
It's really cute because, like, she's super, you know, just peppy and really just, you're all tatted out and fucking tough. Yeah. And then she's not a delicate flower either. She's, you know, she's a very successful UFC fighter as well. But she looks wise, blonde hair, really cute smile. It's great.
Oh, thanks.
Adam is so jealous.
No, I'm not, because I know that me and you can have the same thing, Marina.
No.
What I'm saying though is that Cody, like, so was there at first, was there hard to like convince her to go out with you because you are a fighter and she doesn't want to get a reputation and stuff like that?
No, not really. No, it wasn't really. And like I said, kind of like I just hung out. We just kind of, you know, we do whatever, you know, I mean, after the gym, you go to dinner or movies or, you know, and it kind of was never had that feeling, like, it was like that feeling out process. It's kind of like, hey, we vibe and we click, like, you know, see where it goes. It's kind of, you know, one day at a time, and start hanging out more and more and getting to know each other more. And it's kind of developed into what it is now. You know, it's kind of the same thing.
Are other guys jealous of you?
Oh, you can very much close. Some of the guys are on there trying to troll, but, you know, I don't pay any mind to it. It's fine to me, but, yeah. Sure, there's a lot of haters out there.
Now, is she? I mean, you guys are both fighters. Have you guys gotten any fights yet, or no? Has this been not one? Really, not one argument?
Not one. No.
Come on.
She's easy. No, I promise. She's like she's easygoing. I kind of go with the flow. Like, hey, you know, I try to set the plans and the dates and try to, you know, do all that stuff. She's like, all right, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, hey, we're going to dinner here. We're doing this. She's like, all right, yeah, sure, yeah. That's not it. So
I'm like picturing that, like, Team Alpha Male is like Grease, and you're like the bad greaser. You're like, and she's like Sandy, and everyone's like singing and dancing around.
Oh my God. There's your Halloween costumes, guys.
I'm telling you.
There it is. Hey, that's our Halloween costumes.
And you're like the bad boy with the tattoos, hilarious. And she's like
Sandy. That was a good one.
That's great though, man. I mean, are you, cause she seems like a very all American girl. If I went out with her, I'd be very like scared to like fuck it up. Are like is she that hot where you like don't want to make a move because you're like I don't want to like or is it just like man fuck this I'm Cody No Love time to give me some love
it's kind of like I said, we just clicked and went with it. Good vibe, she throws out the good vibe and it's fun to be around, so I was like, why not?
Now like did the UFC tell you don't get her pregnant?
Oh I yeah, we were slow on that. Yeah, definitely. I would be a no-no for sure. Both our careers.
Fucking believable you are, Adam.
Cody's got Reebok. Cody has Reebok condoms.
Like they said.
Yeah.
No, I mean, because she's like a UFC cash cow. They have to. I mean, did anybody say anything to you, Cody? Like, hey, listen, man, just don't fuck her up. No getting into fights during fight week for her. You know, just nobody gave you that like whole talk.
Yeah, no, not at all. And you kind of that's their own thing, you know. We're young adults, you know, and we're both mature. We're both in, you know,
nice.
We're limelight. We're fighting. It's like we know what to do, and you know, we know right from wrong. So
does Martin Kamen, you know, like chaperone your dates or no?
Not our dates. No. He'll laugh sometimes. You know, she helps me stretch with my stretching, so he'll just be like, he'll laugh at us because I'm like super inflexible. So she'd be like, you know, put her legs between mine and like help me stretch, grab me, bend me forward. They kind of laugh about that, but it gives a little hard time, but all in good fun.
Nice. I like this. This is cute. This is adorable.
Just in case you were wondering, you have Adam's approval.
Yeah, you have my approval, man. I'm happy for you. You're a guy. You know, you're a guy. You came from nothing. You came from the streets of Ohio. You know, you dropped out of college, become a fighter. And now here you are. You're 6-0, and you're banging the hottest chick in the UFC.
Oh my God!
This is great.
Top of the world.
Honestly, it doesn't get any better from the way you are right now.
You're blowing my head up, Ad.
No, well, I'll blow your head up, and then she's blowing something up.
Oh God, damn it! I knew that was coming.
I'm just saying, like, dude, you're doing very well right now. I'm just saying, like, you know, you should be very proud of yourself. But
yeah, thanks, I am. Definitely, I'm happy with life right now, and you're going to be even more happier with this knockout on July 11th.
Now, are you not having sex with her before the fight?
No, we don't. We don't. Yeah, we just kind of, don't do that.
You don't have sex? You don't have sex in general, or like no before the fight?
Yeah, in general. Yeah.
In general, yeah. Really?
Yep.
Come on.
Yep. Kind of taking it slow, man.
Oh, really?
I'm not a fight focus, so yeah. So.
This is such bullshit. I don't know. I kind of believe you though, because she isn't she very religious?
Yeah. We actually go to church together, and it's nice. So, still, a good Christian girl and has beliefs, so it's always good. Not only on that level, but you know, outside of the gym, like I said, we have same beliefs and things, and like I said, we just click, so it's nice.
But you're like taking it slow though, being respectful.
Yeah, definitely.
Taking it slow. Gotcha. Cool. Cody No Love. And by the way, people don't know, Cody No Love, I was reading about you. One of your fights, you met a guy who was 5 years old, who had leukemia, named Maddox, a friend of yours. Mm-hmm. And there was a fight you had where you donated all ticket sales to Maddox. This guy's mm-hmm. really important in your life. This guy comes to your fights, and you said he's got a way more tougher fight than I have. I think that's really beautiful, man. That's really nice that you do that.
Right. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, we have a special bond that we've, grown over the years, you know, almost 4 years of getting to know the kid and his battle and seeing him as onset of leukemia and, you know, being there with him, from the beginning of it until, you know, he's in remission. And just great to see, you know, very motivating to see him and fight for his life and not give up and just be there with him, you know, and he needed it, and for him to be there in pivotal times in my life, with my UFC debut and coming up in my fighting career, just having him there before the fight usually comes, so he hangs out in the locker room with me before I was in the UFC, walking into the cage. Now this fight, DFC is letting him walk down in the cage. So it's a huge dream of his for years. We made a pact that, you know, one day he was, you know, his father had called me and said that, you know, they've done everything. He just wants to give up. He's tired of taking the pills. And, you know, if you could say something, I know he'd listen to you. And, you know, I was living out of the state at the time. So I FaceTimed him, sent him a video, and, you know, just told him, you know, keep working, you know, keep taking his pills. He's, we have a short time now. He's been fighting so hard, and we're not giving up. And I said, you know, let's make a promise to each other. You beat cancer, and I'll make it to the UFC, and I will take you with me every fight. And you know, he upheld his end of the promise. And August 25th of last year, he took the last dose of chemo and has been in remission almost going on a year. And I got to keep my end of the promise. And I fought January 3rd in the UFC debut, and he was there. Going to hang out with him after. Now it's you know, it's been a dream of him since we made the promise, you know, almost four years ago, that we were giving the welcome to the UFC down, let him walk down to the cage. And you know, on July 11th, he gets to live another dream, you know. And so it's amazing the UFC is allowing it, and I'm just glad to be a part of it, you know, and help him live, you know, and make him feel like a kid, you know, give him that drive to, you know, to keep, you know, keep living and keep battling, you know.
I love that, man. Dude, you're a great guy, Cody. You're a great guy. Where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Cody_NoLove, and then my Facebook page is Cody No Love Garbrandt.
Well, Cody, it's an honor to have you on the show. I definitely want to shake your hand and smell it.
Oh, God.
But thank you so much for all that you do, brother.
No, thank you, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was fun.
All right, take care,
thanks,
Cody.
Yeah, thank you. Talk soon.
I have to pee so bad.
Okay, our next guest was in jail 2 weeks ago for a seatbelt ticket. He was on The Ultimate Fighter. He was in the UFC. Then he was in Bellator. Now he won his last fight. He's his career is up and down. He's John Jones' training partner. Seems like a good guy, this guy. Bubba McDaniel, we're going to call right now. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, is this Bubba McDaniel?
Yes, it is.
Hey, it's Adam Hunter and Marina Shafir.
What's up, Bubba?
You are on the MMA Roasted podcast.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, buddy?
I'm driving right now to go to a grave.
Go to a what?
Going to a grave site right now.
Oh, sorry. Are you visiting your career?
Or... No, it's all good. No, it was... Yeah, kind
of. I'm just...
Now, my buddy that passed on a couple years ago before the finale. It's his birthday today. That's where I'm headed.
Oh, sorry to hear that, man. Sorry to hear that.
It's nobody's fault.
So Bubba, I've been a fan of yours for a while. I think you're a great guy. You're a great fighter. I read a couple weeks ago you went to jail for a seatbelt ticket. What happened?
Okay, so you know, when you start getting broke in the fight game and all because you're hurt and you can't fight, you take up crazy jobs. I was mowing yards. So you know, it's a Sunday. I'm mowing yards. I'm going between one yard to the next. And, you know, this damn cop pulls me over. And I shouldn't say a damn cop. He was kind of nice to me, but I was a dick to him because he wanted to give me a fucking seatbelt ticket for a half-mile ride from one yard to another. So I was upset. I told him, dude, you realize I don't have enough money to pay this, right? Because, you know, I'm out mowing yards on a Sunday.
Right.
You know, so my average, you know, my average on my cut, because I got a friend that actually it's his business, and I go out and mow yards for him, things like that. I get $10 a damn yard, you know, so an average day for me is about $60. And, you know, he throws this $150 ticket on me, and first thing I tell him, I was like, well, dude, you can pretty much assure yourself that I'm not going to pay this. I was like, you need to go ahead and pull out your handcuffs and take me in. I'm going to set this out because I make – why should I sit out in the hot sun mowing yards, you know, making money – you know, that I really don't have anyway, trying to make money and then pay him for the, you know, couple days wages that I just tried to get out in the heat. when I can sit in the jail cell, you can feed me three hots, you know, give me a cot to sleep on, and I'll sit out my time.
So, okay, so then you went to jail. Now, did anybody recognize you in jail for being a fighter?
Yeah. it was quite comical, actually. I walk in, no big deal. Had a couple guys give me a little weird look. And, you know, nobody really messed with me off the bat, but those couple of guys that gave me the funny look came over a little bit later going, "You're Bubba McDaniel, aren't you?" Said, "Yeah." "What the hell are you doing here?" You know? And I just told them, "Well, I'm in and out. No big deal. I'm just I'm doing in and out, sitting out a ticket." They're like, "Oh, okay. Well, you need some coffee? You need anything like that? Yada, yada, yada." You know, I was like, "Oh, well, still, I think I'm going to be all right, you know?" No. One of them made a joke. He was like, "Hey, you're not going to try to take over his TV, are you?" I was like, "Ah, definitely not." I'm in and out.
Now, well, was this your first time in jail?
Yeah, not really.
Oh, shit.
I've had a few little bitty overnighters, things like that, you know, just where I've had to sit when I was younger. I wasn't the nicest young guy, but at the same time, like, it's only the second time I've been there since I was, 19 years old.
Okay.
Now, so, I mean, you know, it's been a few and far between things since I was real young.
Now I was following your career, man. You've had a very up and down career. At one point, you know, you had a big win over Kevin Casey, who's a very respected, you know, jiu-jitsu guy. You lost to Kelvin Gastelum on The Ultimate Fighter. Did you know how good Kelvin was going to be back then?
Dude, honestly, like, I had watched his fight to get in the house. I wasn't I knew Keto was a good fighter. I knew he was, his fight to get in the house against Kelvin. That was a great fight, you know, split decision win for Kelvin. And I was just, you know, I thought, oh, no big deal, because I at the time, I had valued myself. Like, my self-worth and value as an MMA fighter was at an all-time high. I thought, you know, like, I was the man. I was the man that was, you know, the best unsigned guy in the U.S., you know, hands down. That's what I thought. I really, really thought that. I hadn't lost in a few years. And, you know, I was riding a nice win streak. That fight to get in the house was my seventh win in a row that I'd had, you know, like, I had felt that I had hit my stride. I knew what I was going to be as a fighter, things like that. Man, I went in there and just, you know, trying to keep myself down, weight, things like that. Like, you can ask the guys that were there. I slept so much because I'd try to eat as little as I could, you know, to try to keep my weight down. And I'd go to sleep because I was just so tired, you know. Like, I'm a big dude to make 185, and especially since I made weight, you know, four times in 5 weeks in the house. It was crazy for me. You know, like, after the show, I think it was after I fought Uriah, it was like 6 days later. Not even that, actually. Yeah, 5 days later, I take that back. I was 226.
Wow.
But it was 6 days from the weigh-in at 185.
Wow. That's a lot of weight.
You know, so it's just like my body was screaming to give it nourishment, you know, at that point. You know, and like I say, but, I, you know, in there against Kelvin, I remember having the armbar at the very beginning of the first round. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay, I remember having that armbar, sitting him on his back and everything, and going, you know what? I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to go out. I'm going to TKO this shit. I get on top of him, getting ready to punch. All of a sudden, he explodes and takes my back. And I'm like, oh, what just happened, you know? Like, and then we ended up having a fight, and I went out in the second round, tried to hit a throw that I do, and I slipped, fell on my face, you know, his sweaty arm. I came right off of it. I just, after that, it was a downhill spiral. I just
Fuck
was like,
man.
Wow.
Sweat is like, I feel like people don't understand when you start getting sweaty how slippery and how fucking annoying it is. I think sometimes sweat is a little bit more annoying than cramping.
Oh, man. It's you can deal with a cramp more than, you know, because you can actually still grab something and hold on at that point, you know. When you're sliding and you can't grab anything, it's a mess.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know.
I do.
But then your fight against Uriah Hall, it seemed like Uriah Hall was in everybody's head. It seemed like everyone in that house was like, fucking, they built up Uriah Hall. Not that he's not a great fighter, but people were picking him as like the next Anderson Silva before Silva lost. Do you think maybe you kind of...
Right, okay, well, let me throw this at you here, okay? Watch Uriah break a dude's arm back to that. I can't remember the kid's name, but he fought Clint after that in the UFC. The kid got himself back in the UFC. watched him, you know, fight, and Uriah break his arm and throwing some really nice stuff or anything. And at that point, I was like, okay, that's a guy I got to contend with. You know, his fight against Adam, yeah, that was scary.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you, man. That was the scariest thing to watch. Like,
Dad!
I tell people over and over again, I thought I watched the guy's life change. You know?
Yeah.
I thought he was about to be one of those guys that was vegetated. You know, like, one way or another, something wasn't right with him after that is what I thought. And he scared me. You know, it was one of those things. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't scared of the man, but I'm scared of a consequence of fighting and things like that. And that's when it becomes real to you, you know? Like, we're in there, and things could happen to us that could, you know, put us in a wheelchair, you know, like I said, change your life drastically in a second. Mm-hmm. And that was the realness put out at you at that point. Then I lost to Kelvin, you know? Like, I didn't think that I was going to lose. I didn't think I was going to lose at all. I lost to him, and then I fought Kevin Casey, you know? Me and Kevin get out there. I end up feeling great at the end of that fight. You know, when I'm standing over top of him, and I look at him feeling worse than I am, and, you know, and then all of a sudden he has to go to the hospital, and I'm feeling bad again because as soon as I get done with that, I have to go straight back into cutting weight because I have 6 days to make weight again.
Wow.
You know, I was weighing 210 pounds again.
You don't understand,
just,
Adam.
It was ridiculous.
The circumstances on that show are fucking ridiculous.
It seems that way.
Like the weight cutting and the training, it's so easy to overtrain, and it's so easy to fuck up your metabolism and have those adrenaline drops. And those lulls, like, you really have, like, you have to do whatever you have to do. It's not about proving anybody else right on that team. It's just proving yourself right, making sure you're doing the things that you're comfortable doing, staying focused, right, and staying on track. And
right,
I was an assistant coach on that show, and it was a miserable fuck. Like, pretty much, it was terrible. It was like, it was so hard managing the fighters sometimes because everybody wanted to push, you know, you're on the best team, all this stuff. And it's really shitty.
Now
yeah, it's no easier being on the other side of that. You know, that's one thing I've told people. I'd like to go coach a show. I would like to just even assistant coach, something like that. So I can tell these guys, hey man, I know what it's like. And I can sit there and, you know, talk these guys through their hard situations that are coming about, because man, I know how hard it is to be in the house, get in there, lose a fight, then you're back in the tournament, then you're back out of it. You know, I've got injuries at the end of it. You know, I got my face broken three places. You know, you've got to go against a guy that literally you thought killed a man in the ring. You know, it was a mental fuck completely. Yeah, like, you know, that's the thing. People are still telling me, oh, you were scared. Well, yeah, I was scared at the time because I knew I wasn't the best me at that point. That was my fourth weight cut in 5 weeks. I felt like I was dying. Like, literally, I thought I was dying. And then mentally, you know, that plays the role on you. And I've got to go in there and fight this guy who hadn't fought. You know, he fought before me in the round before I beat Kelvin. Or, I mean, I lost to Kelvin. Then I had to beat Kevin Casey, wait until, it's my turn to fight Kevin. And then he got to make weight for me. Like, dude had been waiting around chilling. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, he had to make weight, you know, too, again. But, man, I felt like there was so much more stacked against me, and it just mentally played a bad role on me. Then I get hit, you know, and wake up, and I can breathe through my face. You know, it's kind of it was kind of one of those things where it put a bad taste in my mouth, even about myself at that point. I was like, man, am I just not as good as I thought I was? You know, it was a real big thing on me.
Well, I mean, since then, I mean, you're a fighter, dude. You're a fighter. You end up getting cut from the UFC. Then you go to Bellator. You're 1-1 in Bellator. You got cut from Bellator. You came back. You won your last fight, and now you're a guy looking for a fight, right?
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know if I got cut or not. I haven't heard from them. If I'm on the cut list, nobody's informed me.
So you still might be in Bellator.
So, I still might be. I don't know. You know, that's the thing. Nobody talks to me. I don't want to bash anybody or anything anymore, but, you know, I was supposed to fight for Bellator in March because I got hurt in that October fight. And actually, people don't realize this, but I fought in Bellator 6. So my Bellator record is actually 2-1.
Oh, you're 2-1. Got it. Okay. Sorry. My bad. So you're 2-1 in Bellator.
That's the thing, though. Nobody knows that. They'll even post it. Bellator themselves will post that I'm 1-1 now.
So Bellator doesn't know that you fought in their organization. Well, that, all right. So
yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So we need, okay. So I, cause I want to help you. I like you. I think you're a name. People like you and people hate you. Okay, I don't know why they would hate you,
but a lot of people hate me.
I know, for no reason. For no, you're a good guy. I know. I think a lot of people saw that you were a little scared of Uriah Hall, and I think people themselves would be scared of Uriah Hall, and I think people don't like that in themselves, and they go, oh fuck.
Right.
So they could identify with you, and in some way you became such a human, almost like you're too much of a human, and I think people don't like you.
Right.
But I guarantee you put any one of those people against Uriah Hall in a fucking cage after watching that, they would be a lot. They'd be shitting themselves. I mean, fuck, I'd be shitting myself. So I mean, you're just a human being.
Yeah.
Now, Bubba. Also, we got to talk about John Jones. I know you and John Jones are really good friends. You guys were training partners. Have you talked to him since all this shit went down?
You know, the thing is, I haven't talked to John in about a year, actually. You know, I left Jackson's probably April last year. I think we talked in, like, end of May, something like that. Last year was the last time we talked, and I called him up. We had a little conversation, just hung out, you know, on the phone for a minute. And, you know, other than that, man, it's like, I'm still a John Jones fan. Like, he's always, you know, going to be my boy. You know, I don't really care what people say like that, you know. But the thing about John at that point is you know, there's a point where you do a lot. You do things along the lines that, you know, is, you know, where you have to be a grown man. You have to own up to the things that are happening, you know, like the Bentley situation, you know, where they got wrecked, things like that. You know, there's a lot of things you can throw under the bridge and be like, oh, it's water under the bridge, no big deal, everybody's gonna make mistakes, people throw him money, you know, or and take care of him, and it's just like, you know, Nike, all these people take care of this guy, and nobody really takes into account that this is a guy who was still very, very young when all these things came into play. His mentality of growing up and that kind of stuff, like, he has children, he teaches them lessons, he does great and as a parent, things like that, but somebody has to make him accountable for him at one point, you know, and there's actions that he took right there, and that's what he has to be accountable for. Just like me, you know, things like that. I didn't have a seatbelt on, I got a ticket. Yeah, well, time to go sit in jail, you know? Like,
yeah.
It just is what it is. Even though it was just a, you know, a short little stint, that's what I did. You know, there's a, when I was younger, you know, like I say, I went and sat a few times there, had to pay money, you know, court costs, stuff like that. You know, it's at one point, everybody is accountable for them. And this is just a sad situation where I feel like the, you know, world's pound for pound fighter is not able to fight.
It is sad.
Because he's got other things going on. And that is truly sad to me.
That's sad to me too. You know, but I think he'll make a comeback. I think he's too good not to. I think he needs to lose a lot of the people around him. And
right,
he needs
too many yes men.
Too many yes men. You see it all the time. You see it with Mayweather. You see it with Jones. You see it with, you know, it happened with Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, LT. The list goes on of athletes that have had too many yes men around them. Well, listen, so Bubba,
correct.
A lot of people listen to our podcast who own fight promotions. I know Titan FC loves our show. Where can people find you to offer you a fight so you don't have to mow lawns anymore? Where can people find you?
I'm going to tell you what, man, get a hold of me either on my fan page or get a hold of me on my personal page. Even if you can't, like, friend request me anything, send me messages. I send these, like, I have a friend that's helping me in Midland at Boston's BJJ right now. He's the guy he set me up. I've got a fight July 11th right now, and it's, you know, I'm going to tell you like this, man. The money I'm fighting for on this fight, and I've got another fight July 24th that are there. Right now there's contracts signed, but we'll see what happens. I've had my last three fights that I was supposed to have all bail on the last week, 2 weeks out. So it's kind of crazy. But right now I'm hoping that Boss Toast BJJ, Brad Barnes is helping me out, trying to line me out, getting he got me a sponsor, the Beard Whisperer out of Odessa, to take me to camp for the fight on the 11th. I'm gonna have a 2 week camp for a fight. It's gonna be great.
Well,
you know, so.
Well, Bubba, good luck, man. Anytime you want to come on the show, let us know, and good luck with everything, brother.
Hey, man, I appreciate the opportunity. Y'all, you know, anytime y'all need anything from me, anything like that also, just please hit me up. I'm a big fan.
Thanks
Bubba.
Bubba. Thanks, Bubba.
All right, y'all have a great one.
Bye.
All right. That was, I liked Bubba. Bubba, nice guy. He said he's cute.
I said he's cool.
He's cool. It's always got to talk into the microphone. This is the thing.
Sorry, my foot is swelling and I had to elevate it.
All right, it's great. It's great. People go tell me that Evan has the sound wrong, but it's because you're.
It's not Evan. It's me. I had to repossession
your foot.
Yes.
I heard if you put it behind your head, it helps. Listen. So, I want to thank our sponsors, American Icon Autographs, www.aiase. Trust me, guys. Go there if you want to get the coolest signed collectibles. If you have a man cave, this is Sean. Sean's the guy. Also, Remove It Restoration. If your storefront property has been vandalized, if gangs have taken over, removeitrestoration.com, 1-888-424-9697. And I'm going to work out tonight. I'm going to go run 5 miles, and then afterwards, I'm going to take some hemp core, the ultimate hemp protein. HempCoreStore.com. It does not contain any illegal ingredients, so you're not going to fail a drug test. It's hemp, not weed, people. Hemp, not weed. HempCoreStore.com. You could find me Fight Weekend. I will be in Vegas at the V Theater in Planet Hollywood. The V Theater, Planet Hollywood. I will be there performing on Wednesday and Thursday night. There's a code. If you go to my adamhunter.com, you can get tickets for $10, or it's $20, and then you get 2 free drinks. So I will be also at Marina's fight on Friday, and then Jake's
Thursday.
Your fight's Thursday?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was Friday.
It's on a Thursday.
Oh, I will not be at Marina's fight. Maybe I'll try to go there before my fight.
How about you just say you'll be watching my fight?
I'll be watching your fight.
Okay.
Wherever I am. I'm going to be at Jake's fight on Sunday at the Ultimate Fighter. And then I'm going to try to go to the Conor McGregor fight against Aldo. I heard it's sold out, but I'm sure we can get tickets somehow. Someone will have extra tickets, right?
There's always extra tickets.
Right?
There's always extra tickets.
Yes. And now where are you going to be?
When?
Right now to plug. You have it in the plug?
To plug? Watch me on Invicta FC 13.
Yes.
July 9th. Yeah.
Gonna fuck shit up.
Going to fuck some shit up.
Thank you, Marina. Thank you, Fox Sports. Thank you, Cody No Love, Bubba McDaniel, Travis Brown. Tune in until next week. Thank you, guys, and have a great life.
Peace.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.